This is a question from Rasa Ananda Das. He states, Srila Prabhupada often mentions in his lectures that his mission would be complete if he could make one pure devotee. Well, sometimes, not often. Occasionally, he said that. Is this statement out of humility by Srila Prabhupada? What is the definition of a pure devotee? Does it mean that there is no pure devotee in ISKCON? Is this statement made out of humility? Why would that in particular be an expression of humility? If I can make one pure devotee. Can you find the connection there? How it's particularly an expression of humility? Maybe the questioner is thinking that actually it's obvious that Srila Prabhupada made many pure devotees and therefore he's saying out of humility. Maybe. But then he asks, does it mean that there is no pure devotee in ISKCON? If Srila Prabhupada says that my mission will be successful, I could make one pure devotee, that might suggest that he's not yet complete and he hasn't made any pure devotees. So then the important question, to put everything in perspective, what is the definition of a pure devotee? Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that when you reach the perfect stage, it's not that you get 5 heads and 20 hands or exactly what he said, I can't remember, but the idea that you get some fantastic mystical position, that's not correct. The definition of a pure devotee, generally we think of someone who is completely free from all impure desires and completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada also stated that anyone who's trying to be a pure devotee can also be considered a pure devotee. And that fits with the definition of Uttama Bhakti given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Kama Dhyana Vritama Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Rutama. The topmost level of devotee is that in which there is the absence of the cultivation of desires other than for devotional service. Krishnanushilanam means that one is cultivating Krishna consciousness. So that's also considered pure devotional service because the intent is to be pure. There's no admixture of karma or jnana. One has the intention to give up all other desires than to serve Krishna, although the process of purification is required, even though one may be called a pure devotee because one's intention is pure. But a process of purification is still required because even though one's goal of life may be only Krishna, due to residual attachments to this material world and impurities in the form of material desires, one is not completely pure. But Srila Prabhupada, he often said that his disciples were pure devotees. And in this definition, Srila Prabhupada meant that they were sincere. They were sincerely trying to serve Krishna. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say you're all neophytes, sometimes they're all pure devotees, so it might seem contradictory, but it's not contradictory. It's from his position as the guru, he has to both encourage and to chastise. Both are required. Here are a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. From a letter, he wrote that all of my disciples are pure devotees. So what does that mean? Anyone who's initiated by Prabhupada, then it's a magic wand. Immediately you become, boom, like the Ramakrishna touched Vivekananda, and there was an electric shock. And then Vivekananda passed out due to the force of the electric shock. And when he came to, he saw his guru crying. He asked him, why are you crying? He said, because I gave all my potency, all my knowledge to you. Completely bogus. No, we have to consider then what is a disciple. A disciple means one who accepts the discipline, one who actually follows. So Srila Prabhupada says that all of my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone who is surrendered to the spiritual master is a pure devotee. He qualifies the statement, disciple. It's not just I'm initiated, that's it. Sometimes you're very anxious to get more and more people initiated. So that's good. Devotees should come forward to be initiated, but we should see if they're surrendered. Otherwise, there's not much meaning to being initiated if one is not prepared to follow the order of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada continues, amongst ourselves, one should respect others as Prabhu, master. As soon as we distinguish, here is a pure devotee, here is a non-pure devotee, that means I am a nonsense. This letter was addressed to a devotee who was part of a camp among Srila Prabhupada's disciples, a faction. There was one young, charismatic man in Hawaii who had many followers who were his disciples, and he came forward to be Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and then all his disciples also became Srila Prabhupada's disciples. But they always were somewhat different and kept themselves somewhat separate, and they didn't really fit in to fully with the rest of the movement. They would have fitted in much better nowadays, because they didn't like this heavy-duty Krishna consciousness. They liked it more relaxed. So the question was asked in this regard about Siddha Swarup. That was the name of the name that Srila Prabhupada gave to this charismatic figure who'd formerly designated himself as Sai. So Srila Prabhupada gave him the name Siddha Swarupananda. So the idea was there among Siddha Swarup, as he was called for short, among his followers, that he is a pure devotee. Prabhupada's a pure devotee, he's a pure devotee, and the others, nah, not really. We still see that kind of idea sometimes in ISKCON today. My guru is pure, and the others, yeah, they're doing their best. So, why do you only want to be in the spiritual world with Siddha Swarup? Why not all? If Siddha Swarup can go, why not everyone? Siddha Swarup will go, you will go, Shyamasundar will go, all others will go. We will have another ISKCON there in the spiritual world. And then Srila Prabhupada puts in a little joke here. Of course, Mr. Nair must stay. Mr. Nair was the one person who harassed Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, attempting to cheat them in a land deal. But Srila Prabhupada cheated him. And if somebody does not go to the spiritual sky, then I shall have to come back to take him there. One should remember this, and every one of my disciples should act in such a way that they may go with me and I may not have to come back to take another birth. In another letter, Srila Prabhupada writes, I have received your description of the book sold during the 3-day Christmas period, and I'm very much pleased upon all of the nice boys and girls who have helped me in this way. So, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati katopi. Instead of thinking, am I a pure devotee, are others pure devotees, better we concentrate on pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Then by his blessings we may be rascal fool number one, but if we can somehow please Srila Prabhupada, then our success is guaranteed. Whereas if we don't please him, however much we may endeavor to be pure in other ways, then we won't nagati katopi, we won't attain the goal. I could have never thought that it was possible to distribute so many of our literatures. Therefore, I can understand it is simply Krishna's blessing us for your sincerely working on his behalf. Actually, that is the secret of my success. Not that personally I have done anything wonderful, but that because those who are helping me are sincere, they have done the work. That is the reason for our success all over the world where others have failed. So Srila Prabhupada says here, I'll repeat it, because this is humility. Srila Prabhupada says that it's not that I've done anything wonderful, but because those who are helping me are sincere. So Srila Prabhupada stressed on the sincerity. A little sincerity is a very difficult thing in this age of hypocrisy and bluff. But I am so fortunate that Krishna has sent me all of you nice boys and girls who are sincerely working. Please convey to all of them my deepest appreciation. So in this passage, Srila Prabhupada mentions the word sincere and its derivatives 4 times. So Srila Prabhupada gives the emphasis there on sincerity. What does sincerity mean? In the context of Krishna consciousness, which is the only real context for the use of this word, it means anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kama netavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. To sincerely, you can't use the same word to define it, to strive for pure devotional service. Not that one is doing a little bit of bhakti, a little bit of something else. No. Now, from an arrival lecture in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes people give me very much credit that I have done something wonderful throughout the whole world, but I do not know that I am a wonderful man. I know one thing, that I am speaking what Krishna has spoken. That's all. I am not making any addition or alteration. Therefore, I am presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. This credit I can take, that I don't make any nonsense addition or alteration. And I see practically it has become successful. I have not bribed so many Europeans and Americans. I'm a poor Indian. I came to America with 40 rupees with me, and now I possess 40 crores. So there is no magic. So this is the secret, that if you want to become guru honestly, if you want to cheat, that is another thing. There are so many cheaters. People also want to be cheated. As soon as we say that if you want to become my disciple, you have to give up 4 things. No illicit sex, no intoxication, up to drinking tea and smoking cigarettes. No meat eating and no gambling. And they criticize me. Swamiji is very conservative. And if I say that you can do all this nonsense, whatever you like, you simply take this mantra and give me $125, they will like. This is a swipe at the transcendental meditation process, which was very popular in America at that time, where you get a mantra for $125. Now I heard it's $2,000, something like that. Inflation. the cost of becoming self-realized has increased. Because in America, $125 is nothing. Any man can pay immediately. So I would have collected millions of dollars if I would have cheated like that. But I do not want that. I want one student who follows my instruction. So there we get again. Srila Prabhupada said that my mission would be successful if I make one pure devotee. And here he says, I want one student who follows my instruction, because there's no difference. If you follow Prabhupada's instructions, then we are pure devotees. Because Srila Prabhupada gives us the instructions by following which we are pure devotees. If we act as Srila Prabhupada said, we act on the platform of pure devotional service, because Srila Prabhupada didn't instruct us in karma, jnana, yoga, or any such thing. Only in pure devotional service. I don't want millions. Ekash chandrastamo hanti nachatara sahasrasaha. If there is one moon in the sky, that is sufficient for illumination. There is no need of millions of stars. So my position is that I want to see that at least one disciple has become a pure devotee. There we go. Of course, I have got many sincere and pure devotees. That is my good luck. But I would have been satisfied if I could find out one only. There is no need of so-called millions of stars. So from this statement, I would consider my mission successful if I could make one pure devotee. We can understand from this several points. One thing is that to be a pure devotee is not such a cheap thing. It's not a matter of paying $125 and getting a mantra. It requires surrender. And we can't expect that many people will take this up. It's not expected, because people come to this material world to forget Krishna. So that's one thing. Another thing is that when Srila Prabhupada said, I would consider my mission successful as one pure devotee, because that is the goal. It's to bring people to pure devotional service. If we bring one person to pure devotional service, that is much more meaningful than bringing in many people who are in a compromised position. By this analogy, ekas chandras tamohanti kingna tara sahasrasa. That one moon is more valuable than millions of stars. Now, this is an important point to remember in our preaching, is that we're not just trying to bring in many, many people somehow or other and getting them to somehow or other put their hand in a bead bag and take initiation. But the idea is that we want to bring people to pure devotional service. So if we want to cheat people, that's relatively easy. If we want to give them the real thing, to tell them to surrender to Krishna, giving up all material desires and attachments, then we may not expect that so many people will come. So it's very important to understand this mood of Srila Prabhupada, that to have millions of so-called followers is, it's not very meaningful. But one person who can follow properly, that is meaningful. So by stating this, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the necessity of pure devotional service as compared to devotional service that is compromised by karma, jnana, yoga, by the cultivation of material desire. So that's one important point that we can understand from this. Okay. What else is there here? There's a question come through? You have one. All right. Srila Prabhupada initiated very liberally. So, was he searching for diamonds or was he searching for glass bangles? Well, in this regard, there's another anecdote can be related, that Srila Prabhupada went with Achyutananda and maybe one other devotee to Navadvip from Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada had his property in Mayapur. Nothing was developed at that time. So Srila Prabhupada visited two mutts of his godbrothers on the Navadvip side of the Ganga. Interesting, both these mutts, out of these mutts, some personalities later became prominent in the Vaishnava, in the Gauriya, well, among Srila Prabhupada's followers. Many people left ISKCON and went to them. One was the mutt of Bhakti Rakshak, Sridhar Maharaj, and the other was the mutt of Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. So in Sridhar Maharaj's mutt, there weren't many devotees, but they were very seriously practicing. Whereas in Keshav Maharaj's mutt, it was described that many devotees present, but quite a few of them were they were living in the mutt, but there were students who were going to some local college, and for them living in the mutt, it was like being like a student hostel. So one of them seemed to have more quality, but not much quantity, and the other had more quantity, but didn't seem to have so much quality. So the always perceptive and intelligent Achyutananda, on returning to Mayapur, asked Srila Prabhupada, he noted this and said that which one should we be more like? And Prabhupada said both. Quantity and quality. But quality first. Quality is the first consideration. So both things. So Srila Prabhupada was liberal in initiation. He said, I'm prepared to go to hell for the sake of Lord Chaitanya. But at the same time, he did insist on four regulated principles. And he did strongly push his disciples, as we see here, the four regulated principles. Yeah, he did push them, not to simply take initiation and think that it's all over.